I'm quite sure there always have been forest fires, but it seems to be that recently anyway, we've seen forest fires on a scale that just hasn't been experienced before. Just a couple of months ago, there were those vast fires burning right across the Amazon basin, fires that could be seen apparently from space, huge fires. And once where there was lush forest, plenty of life, great diversity, the potential, the vitality that there was in that forest, the flames sweep through it, and all that's left are stumps and ashes. It's not a very hopeful place. There's nothing in that desolate place that speaks of life. And more recently in Australia, we've seen those horrendous wildfires that have spread with such speed that even people can't drive away from them fast enough, are getting caught up in those. And again, the devastation is left behind. Once there was life, there was potential, there was everything going on, and then that fire sweeps through stumps, ashes, debris. The prophet Isaiah speaks to God's people. Isaiah reminds God's people that God has shown them grace. God chose them. It was this God who rescued them out of Egypt when they were slaves, when they were oppressed, when they suffered injustice and persecution. It was this God who miraculously brought them out of Egypt and gave them their own land. And still people did their own thing. Like sheep who wandered off and did their own thing. And the prophets all through the years kept warning, do not live like this. Do not live in rebellion against God. Do not live ignoring God. Do not live forgetting what God has done for you. But consistently, that's exactly what God's people did. They worshipped idols. They worshipped other non-gods. They turned their back on the God who had rescued them. And God promises, I can't let this happen. And devastation comes. Devastation to the people of God, which is every bit as severe as a forest fire sweeping through a forest. Where there once was life, and vitality, and potential in the midst of God's people who were called to be a light to the nations. God had set his people up to be, if you like, a show house to the nations. Look at my people. Look at how they live. Look at how they live in a way that honors me, in a way that reflects my glory. That's what God had planned for his people, but things turned out so differently. And so God sweeps through that nation. And Isaiah says it's just as though there are stumps left in a forest, a remnant. The Bible talks about a remnant, a leftover. The remnant's a bit of carpet at the end of the roll that you're not quite sure if it's any use to anybody, but if it is, you can have it and do something with it. This remnant is left. Because of the pride and the stubbornness of God's people, he devastates them. Is he finished with them? Does God have a plan B? Plan A hasn't worked out terribly well. Let's think of another plan, plan B. How could a remnant, how could a leftover be a light to the nations? And it's this remnant, this leftover, that Isaiah calls the stump of Jesse. It's as though that tree has been cut down and all that's left of it is the stump. Not much use. There's not much hope. There's not much life about it. There's not much promise in it. So what happens now? God has made these promises that you will be a light to the nations. You will reflect my glory into this world. Does God wind back his promises? Is he like a politician who will promise lots and lots of things in these next few weeks and then wind them back in again over the next few years? Is that what God is doing? I know I made you those promises, but it hasn't really worked out. Or will God keep his promises? All the way through Scripture, God is seen as the one who not only keeps promises, makes promises, but keeps them also. And so verse 1 of this passage, which Chris read for us, Isaiah chapter 11, simply says, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from his roots a branch will bear fruit. All of the former signs of life have gone. There's just a stump left. And yet, there's a shoot. God's not finished. God is still working out his purposes. God is still faithful to his promises. Jesse was King David's father. But we know the story, that a descendant of David would be the Messiah, the promised one. And so in this remnant, in this stump, there is hope. It looked as though everything was over. It looked as though hope was gone. It looked as though there was no future. And then God points to this green shoot. In the midst of devastation, there's this green shoot, speaking of a future, speaking of a hope, speaking of life, speaking of the one who would be the Messiah, Jesus, who would not just be a nation being a light to the world. Jesus would be the light of the world. God would keep his promise. Jesus would be the very hope of the world. God would keep his promise. In the midst of all that devastation, there's this little shoot pointing to the Messiah, pointing to Jesus, in whom we have hope and a future. There are lots of times that we are in situations where we feel that life has been devastated. Just last night, a lot of people gathered here to watch a memorial service online from Vancouver for Heather Baxter, who grew up in this congregation. Devastating. Tragic. Heartbreaking. But yet in the midst of all that, there was this hope that is ours in Jesus Christ. There's no other consolation. Yes, you can have great memories, but the only hope we have is in Jesus Christ, who died and rose again for us. This green shoot in the midst of a desolate place. Isaiah points us towards this green shoot. He points us also towards what this Messiah, what Jesus will achieve. If you read on down through that passage, it has these remarkable images of justice. God will be the one. When this green shoot appears, God will bring in his kingdom of justice and of righteousness. These these are the things that will come. There's something in us that longs for justice, interestingly enough, but probably longs for justice for everybody else, but just be careful with me. Isaiah says, this green shoot, he's the one who will bring, usher in this kingdom of righteousness and justice. And then these images of different animals lying down together. The wolf and the lamb, the leopard and the goat, the calf and the lion. The team that were out in Eswatini, we had a day's holiday at the end of our trip and went to Kruger National Park and witnessed lions and various antelopes and bits and pieces, and nowhere did we see any antelopes cuddling up beside lions. It's a strange image. And even more strange and even more painful is the image of a child putting its hand into a snake pit. I love animals, but I have to confess before you now, I am terrified of snakes. And all through Eswatini, I was the one who was looking around me carefully as we walked. They used to say in Kenya that if you were walking down anywhere, you should walk in three, one behind the other. The first person would disturb the snake, the second person would be bitten by it, and the third person would run away. Snakes, I just can't. But this picture, this image of a child being able just to put its hand in, it's an amazing picture. It's a picture of all those hostilities that are just gone. It's a picture of reconciliation. It's a picture of the curse being lifted from us. Right back at the fall, Genesis 3, when sin enters into the world, there's this enmity between mankind and the serpent. And I lift it because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Verse 9 talks about this, my holy mountain, the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This picture of a new heaven and new earth. I think one of my favorite passages in Scripture has to be that Revelation 21 and 22. This picture of a new heaven and new earth where all these old things will be finished with. The death, the suffering, the goodbyes, the tears. It even talks about God wiping the tears from our eyes. That's a remarkable picture. God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. Because of Jesus, this green shoot in the midst of desolation, we live in a world that's fallen and broken. And we see the effects of it all around us. The injustice, the oppression, the persecution, the sickness, the death, the suffering. It's all there. We see it all around us. How do we live in that world? Next Sunday is the first Sunday in Advent, and I haven't a clue how that happened. The last time I looked, it was September. I don't know. But next Sunday is the first Sunday in Advent. For some, it's the time to start opening the wee doors in the calendar. The countdown to Christmas and all the things that you want to get done and achieve before then. And the adverts are already doing that for us, helping us count down to Christmas. But more than that, Advent is a reminder that Jesus will come again. In the midst of this fallen and broken world, there is this green shoot who is Jesus Christ, the hope of the world. We've already just sung a lovely hymn, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky. And there are lines in it, I have heard my people cry. I have borne my people's pain. And when we look to Jesus, when we look to his kingdom coming again, we see what that means. Because of Jesus, there is hope. Because of Jesus, there is life. There's a green shoot. And so we should look forward to that time when Jesus comes again. That's part of what Advent is about, looking forward to this time when Jesus comes again. Just as surely as he came that first time, born quietly, almost unnoticed in Bethlehem, the Bible is quite clear. God promises that he will come again. The God who makes and keeps promises. And so we look forward. The old hostilities, the old fears will be gone. The curse gone, Satan defeated, the earth filled with the holiness and knowledge of God. Advent, if it's about anything else, is about hope. Hope. Hope's in short supply. But as the people of God, we should be the most hopeful in this world. Advent is about hope because Advent is about God's faithfulness shown to us in Jesus Christ. So when will Jesus come again? Well, the Bible says nobody knows. We don't know. Tony Campolo was an American pastor and writer and sociologist. He has this lovely line when people ask him, you know, when will Jesus come again? When will the Lord come again? Campolo answers, well, you know, I'm called to be on the welcoming committee, not the organizing committee. I don't know when he will come, but I want to be ready to welcome him. Advent is a challenge to us to be ready when Jesus comes. So let's not waste Advent on trivia. Let's enjoy it. Let's celebrate it, but let's fix our heart on greater things so that when Jesus comes, this green shoot on the stump of Jesse, this hope in a world where hope is running out, when Jesus comes, he finds us ready. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you are faithful in every way. And forgive us, Lord, that we forget to remember that. Lord, in these days, remind us again and again that you are the faithful God. And then, Lord, help us, we pray, to accept the grace you have shown to us in Jesus and to be ready when he comes.